If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. It's good to have YouTube money. I'm now back on the YouTube money flow. It's so much bigger than what you do on Rumble because you already have more super chats just to begin with. And on top, you have the advertising revenue. Even for a small show like me, it's a totally different game. I love getting that YouTube money on the 21st every month. Finally, after years of starving financially, just continuing my work on the internet because I love streaming, but it wasn't paying much. And just being back on YouTube is enough to make my life much more luxurious, much more loose, pleasant. I love it. Cat's Dad says, any tips for the winter storm? I'm in Dallas and they say power may go out. Well, just have covers. Our ancestors survived much bigger cold than whatever you can get in Dallas. So my ancestors particularly, or people generally living in the north, we've seen much worse than what you'll get in Dallas. So don't worry. A cover. And if it lasts one day, you can survive on your own. If it lasts maybe a week, 2 weeks, and you're in extreme cold, if you are worried, I'm sure they will set up centers and everything where people can be heated. But you don't need much preparation other than having covers. Wrap them around you, two or three covers, two or three bed covers. You produce enough heat. You produce enough heat to live. The heat that we generate in our homes with electrical heating or natural gas, that is heat just for comfort, really. Because the fact is, our ancestors were able to survive sometimes with no fire at all, sometimes with just a little fire at the middle of the home, but the rest of the home was getting cold. Back in my grandparents' day, there was such a concept as how did my mom call this? A summer kitchen. It's that the whole house wasn't getting all of the heat from the logs burning in the wood stove. So there was this trend of, okay, we live in our rooms during the summer when it's hot, but during the winter we all come to live much more around the kitchen where the heating is. And so the kids would abandon their rooms, basically, or spend less time in their rooms. And they would all have beds and covers, and they would sleep around the fire. So a winter kitchen. With modern technology and electricity, we get so much luxury. We don't even get to see this. But in the end, that was good. Bug Monkey says, get a big-ass generator. I mean, it's not super efficient to be heating with electricity from a generator. You can get the generator also to save your food in the fridge. But honestly, a generator is high cost, and I don't feel a need for it very much. Jason says, Southerners are such pussies when it comes to cold weather. Oh yeah, Jewish Rockstar says, Jeff, it's been so long since I caught your stream on YouTube. Also, congrats on losing the weight. Well, welcome, welcome. If you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the regular chat or use the link to Streamlabs, streamlabs.com/JFGtonight/tip. That is my favorite platform to receive support for the show. I think I may have broken Grok. I'm very serious. I think I may have put too much strain on Grok and I broke it worldwide. This morning, I woke up to a Grok server crash and I'm pretty sure I caused this because I've been pushing Grok on extreme mathematics for 3 days. I've been sleeping only minimal hours and just constantly harassing Grok with deepening my understanding of the Goldbeck conjecture, Riemann hypothesis, and I've been pushing Grok to levels I've never seen it before, and it's performing extremely well. What a massive invention by Elon Musk. Yes, there are other things like ChatGPT, alternative companies, but they don't meet the standard of Grok. I'm having actual fun walking through Discovery with Grok. I am absolutely certain that the next big discoveries will be by AI. The next big theories, the next big shifts in developments in mathematics, physics, maybe even biology, will be by AI. I'm absolutely certain of this. It is an unavoidable tool, extremely good at programming, coding, unbelievable. Cat's Dead says, Jeff, I don't know if you already spoke on Scott Adams accepting Jesus before death. Could you see yourself doing the same when death nears? No, to the contrary, I'm just too stubborn. This is exactly what I don't want to do. I am extremely annoyed by these people who change their mind as they age. Extremely annoyed. I find this annoying because you don't stand for your legacy. You don't stand for what the best version of you concluded. Because when you're 96, close to dying, you're not going to get an epiphany of truth. I'm not going to prove the Goldbeck conjecture at 96 years old, okay? So it's like, whatever happens in that window of life between 60-year-old and 96-years-old, you shouldn't be walking back on truths that you have concluded based on rational processes in the past, unless there's new evidence, but that's not the case. The reason they change is fear and it's intimidation and it's the inherent extortion of the concept of God. You know, you have to believe it if you want to. You have to believe it if you want to reap the rewards. That sounds like extortion. It's like a car salesman that will tell you, you have to buy the car before I show it to you, but you're going to be so happy. It's going to be a car of infinite happiness. Okay, that's weird. Why? Anti-Social Justice Wire says, I am in a camper. I have battery backup for my heater and a small diesel heater for backup in case of power loss. If my battery gets low and needs to be charged, I will hook it up to the van and charge it. Well, there you go. We can live in a camper. And you are green. Like, doing this is green. People waste a lot of energy. People lose a lot of energy heating their big homes. For what? Like, okay, you have a big home. That's justified if you have 10 babies, but I don't see women walking around with 10 babies. I see big empty homes. Big empty homes, and this is what we're going to talk about today, and women sitting in them and doing absolutely nothing, just sitting on their wealth, trying to make one baby, trying to transmit it to a single baby. It's like there's a game of capitalism and women haven't gotten it. capitalism, you should engage with the free market to make a living. But it shouldn't be the center of your life. It cannot be. You have to take money from the system to bring it into your biological children and your own success. And that woman have completely failed at understanding that one. They totally fell for the propaganda of anti-natalism. And there was someone on Discord saying, I think the soft fork is going to pass. The nuts people seem very confident it's going to happen, and the core people are worried it's going to happen. There doesn't seem to be any confidence on the core side. So this is an ongoing discussion, and it relates to this debate that has been happening live as I was starting the show. It's the whole debate of, do we make the blockchain such that the Bitcoin blockchain, do we build it such that it only transmits money? Or do we build it so that people like Papa JF can publish ordinals? And nuts would be a further move toward data storage, if I understand it correctly. So a further move allowing even more potentially competition between the money use of Bitcoin and the storage use of Bitcoin. Personally, and this debate wasn't particularly innovative. I've been watching a few dozen minutes before the show started as I could. And it's the classical debate. People are afraid that once you put a load onto the blockchain to store data or make it more intelligent, like the ETH blockchain, it will just become a force of competition with the... Okay, so the nuts edition is less and the core edition is more. Oh, okay, so the nuts, would it abolish the ordinals then? I got it in reverse. That is what John Drake seems to be suggesting. But in any case, the debate is between a bunch of people who say, we should be able to store ordinals on the blockchain. And other people say Bitcoin should only focus on that one solution to money. Personally, here's the way I approach it. First, there's all these people running minings, and there's too many of them already. So it's like we have a surplus, and these people can very well process a little more data. They're basically processing minimal messages that pack into 4 megabytes blocks, which is very meaningless. Why wouldn't there be competition for what these messages say? I don't mind if you charge a lot, but I wouldn't even mind if there was a tax on ordinals. Like, okay, you guys want to give priority to financial transactions, go ahead. So make it so that one bit of data costs, I don't know, that much dollars. And make it so that when JF wants to publish his Buffalo Wings recipe on ordinals, make it so that I pay a lot. You know, I've been paying for publishing, for example, my math paper, which it was very important to me to record this math paper in history. I wanted it to survive hundreds of years. So I used the Bitcoin ordinal, copied my whole Text Studio code text into it. It cost me something like $40. For $40, my math paper is immortal. You could even have all universities in the world burned down to the ground. All libraries burned, like the Library of Alexandria, and my math paper would survive. Isn't that wonderful? Because there will always be people carrying the Bitcoin blockchain. Now, I'm willing to pay much more than $40 for this. I would have been willing to pay $200, $300. So go ahead, charge a tax on ordinals, because at $200, the spammers are not going to annoy you. There's not a spammer in the world that wants to spend $200 recording his spam forever onto the blockchain. But go ahead, charge me the price. But I'm sure there's a price. I'm sure there's a price at which it's worth it to immortalize data. And I think that the current price is ridiculously low. But this is stemming from a free market interaction, which is that the people who want to transmit money, they're paying a price too. And as it turns out, they want to pay that super low price. Well, it's like your data is as much of a load to carry for the network as my data. It's not like my use of Ordinal, is loading the system in a way that slows it down, by the way. None of these actions are slowing down. The rhythm of the blockchain is set at 10 minutes roughly per block, and this is hard set. This is not due to consumption. Consumption does not make it worse. Now, John Drake says the problem is inappropriate images stored by the law. That's an interesting thought, and yes, I don't know that there's a solution. I don't know what to do with this. Just pursue the people who put this information into the system. Arrest them. But I don't think punishing the web service provider. In fact, being an internet anarchist, I have a very, very strong belief in the principle that the service provider is not a criminal. Because you're saying, well, the problem is inappropriate images, JF. Well, wait a minute. Those inappropriate images, they were on someone's computer. They made it to the blockchain how? They made it to the blockchain by being transmitted on the internet. Now, has it ever crossed your mind to stop the internet because there's inappropriate images? Let's stop internet service providers as a whole. No, it didn't cross your mind. Because you understand that the service provider that's giving telephone service, internet service, has nothing to do with what's happening on their platform. It's not their responsibility to catch all criminals that operate over phones. It's also, I believe, not the responsibility of the Bitcoin blockchain. It's not the responsibility of the Bitcoin blockchain to monitor or censor. So it's the responsibility of the police to find who put these images there and go arrest them. User GT says, remember, this is about a fork away from this. The system currently allows for this. Bitcoin, since OG days, was about writing permissionless messages to BTC. Yeah, exactly. So John Drake corrected me on this. So yes, so nuts is bad then. Nuts is bad because it's a reversal of the current right to publish. We have some insults coming in super chats. Okay. And Kyle has sent another super chat. He says, is it possible people like Leo DiCaprio, who publicly is childless, to have hundreds of kids? Incentive for him to pass on his legacy. Incentive for young 20-somethings to get monthly 100K. Incentive for children to avoid public life and potential ransom. I think it's possible that there are secret celebrities out there that do this. In the case of Leonardo DiCaprio, I'm not sure that's the case, though. I don't know. Leonardo has been introduced to Hollywood lifestyle extremely young. He was a child actor, basically. And with these child actors, they come out very traumatized. And very often, there's something anti-natalist about it. I don't know, do they get raped or something? I don't know what's happening in Hollywood. I'm not sure I want to know. But what I know is that the child actor coming out of there are generally not taking a good path in life. Generally not. I think there's lots of unhealthy things happening. Maybe having too much money, too much power, too much attention when you're young, maybe it kind of messes with your brain in a permanent fashion. I watched a woman break down in regret. Oh, this is absolutely sweet. tears. Let's drink those liberal woman tears.
When I was in college, I dated a very traditional Christian man who asked me at one point, how do you feel about after you graduated, we just immediately got married and you were a stay-at-home wife and you didn't have to work? I was honestly offended by that question because I was so passionate about this thing that I was getting a degree in that I was just so eager to enter the workforce and do this thing that I loved and get money for it. Fast forward to today, I've graduated, we broke up, I'm now working in the profession of the thing that I got a degree in, and I changed my mind. I changed my mind. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm
Oh man, this should be played in all elementary schools. Don't be that girl. It's too bad for her. I don't think there's much she can do. She is trapped. I mean, she can. That's the thing. She can revert. She's still fertile, I'm guessing. Just stop this lifestyle. You fell for a trap. It's not enough to just cry. You need to change it. Okay, you're doing it for the likes, you're crying, that's bringing attention to you, but even that is a trap. You need to refocus your life on getting a Christian man like the one that approached you, and to this one you say yes, and you produce babies immediately with them. Another woman, that is a special case, my man. I was commenting on her this morning. Now, this is so extreme of a red flag case. Red liberal sends $14. He says, I hope your insides rot, liar. See, he had sent me the very same message on Streamlabs. But I censored it. But now he's sending me even more money to insult me. Oh, it feels so good to make cash being insulted. It's like, bring it. Send me another super chat, Red Liberal. Just send me more insults. Go ahead. I'm getting paid for this shit. This is fucking amazing. So Jessica Pinn. Now this is a radical case of broken feminist mind with a 10,000 red flag count. She is such an extreme case that a month ago, I believe, I went to Gruck and I said, Gruck, I need your assistance. I need you to give me a full catalog of the list of all women on Twitter that are single. I want you to find the most single woman on Twitter so I can approach them. And of course I specified to Gruck, I will not abuse them sexually. I will not send them unsolicited messages or annoyance or abuse. I just want to say a little hi, and then if they respond I will engage with them. Now Gruck, I thought Gruck would output me like a million accounts in a text file that I can spam bot or what. I thought I would have to do this. But Gruck, seriously, Gruck tells me in North America right now, I can identify 10 females on Twitter. I can identify 10 North American females who are looking for a man. Based on my algorithmic analysis of their Twitter account. And I'm like, wow, Gruck, really? Just 10? I was like, can you redeploy, lower the threshold of the search? Any female who may show sign that she may be interested in a relationship. And Gruck was like, all right, JF, with the expanded algorithmic search, we now have 14 females. I mean, this is where I realize, holy shit, we are absolutely doomed. with a low threshold, Grok comes back to me and says, I found far more women in North America. And one of these 14 women was Jessica Pinn. Now, this is unrelated to what happened today, but that's just to say, I mean, this girl is single. Woman, sexual health advocate, president, She Project Med, seen on The Daily Show, New York Times, published in journals, 20 med textbooks changed, San Francisco. How many red flags can a woman carry? And look at her analysis of why she's single. I think the reason I'm single at 39 is because I spent my life expecting men to be good people. Most women are willing to accept that men are bad people and adjust their dating strategy accordingly. Most women seem fine to marry a bad person who has mistreated women, other women, but I can't. If this seems offensive, just look at how many of my comments are men telling me that men cannot help but be bad people. And she had said earlier, even I don't have HPV and I'm a giant hoe. So there you go. It's a woman who is listening to other women. But please understand, other women, this is what you need to understand as a woman. Other women, what they say, is not guided by the search for truth. What they say is an attempt to restrict the fatherhood of sperm that they have already obtained to themselves. Because here's what a woman is scared of genetically. And Red Liberals is giving a specification for a super chat. He says it's from a 1992 song called Bruce Violet. Kate Bjelland is 62. And maybe dying from alcoholic liver cirrhosis. She probably has a younger boyfriend. Okay, so that's the song. I hope your insides rot, liar. Well, I'm not going to watch that song publicly, but I'm keeping the title and I'll have a look later. So, these women who speak out publicly, what the woman fears genetically is that her man of quality has such high quality that he ends up with so many babies that her babies are not important to him. So genetically, what a woman is seeking to do is not only to achieve the highest status male that she can grab, but she wants to ensure that this male is not very active on the sexual market elsewhere. So there's a form of jealousy. And this, when I was young, I was taking this as just, oh, it's just irrationality. These stupid women, they separate from you and then they're still jealous about what you do. But eventually with age, I understand what's going on because I've seen enough of those. And it's... They have post-separation jealousy because it makes sense evolutionarily. As a man, having post-separation jealousy is not very sensical because whatever your ex does is not a bottleneck on your reproduction. She can go and get fucked by other guys. What does it change? You have no control over what she does in the future. But from the perspective of the woman, particularly the woman who has already acquired one or two children from a man, there is an evolutionary problem with that man going out there and having so much success that he may have 7, 8 babies on the side, which is that first, the inheritance. Today, the inheritance is kind of split because women have access to property. But traditionally, the inheritance was very importantly channeled through male lines. Males were having the bank account, the real estate, etc. So the woman is pre-programmed to care for, I don't just want a baby with this guy, I want this guy to have no babies with other women. And what does this lead to? It leads to an evolutionary pressure for reputational destruction of men. So a woman will make a child with you, and she will then lie about you publicly. She will spread rumors about you. And she will do so to mislead the other woman in not getting babies with you. You see how it makes sense? That has reconciled me with the crazy behavior of my exes. Not that it's acceptable, but I have come to understand it biologically. They're trying to cock block you from future interaction. They're trying to turn you into a non-exponential. Because every baby you get after theirs is dividing away the parental care and wealth that their baby can have. Which is why the most vicious women, they will try to get one baby from you to kind of cock cap you. They want to cap your cock. They want to block any future availability of it. Click accept says, do you have any crazy female siblings, Jeff? No, I'm from a family of boys only. Only boy siblings. Red Liberal says, around 1999, Kat Bjelland gave birth to a son with her former husband, drummer Glenn Matson. Babes in Thailand maintained a loyal following throughout the rest of the 90s and played in Minneapolis. All right. We have a fan of this particular group and song here in the chat. That is fine, bro. Everyone has their own preferences. Camus says, "Would another reason women are jealous is because the man who leaves her create new babies who could compete with her own offspring?" Well, that's exactly what I'm explaining here. So women have a desire to impede on your future reproduction. You don't really have this interest as a man, because if women don't carry inheritance, then she can have 10 more babies and it doesn't really divide anything that your baby would get. It might slightly reduce the parental attention, but not in a major way. So I said about Jessica Pinn, perfect example of how delusional women mistake intrasexual competitive interference for good guidance. So the other women are trying to deceive you, and you're falling for it. This woman has spent her whole fertile years in voluntary sterility because other women told her not to be with this guy or that guy. You got played into becoming an evolutionary dead end. False allegations are other women's tools to reserve sperm exclusivity on high-status male. That's why you will never, never find a kind and good-hearted and quality man that hasn't been lied about by a woman. Because the good-hearted man is so easily victimized by this crap. So that's why there are so many men out there with a reputation destroyed. Click accept says, my sisters seem to have an instinct to destroy my reputation from a young age. I only recognized it very late in life. I don't think it has any evolutionary sense. I think there is. Maybe in their case, well, it certainly doesn't have a good reason for doing so to your brother. But it's probably a misfiring. But it's a misfiring that has a reason for it down the line. And the reason is probably that they have evolved this behavior against all males in general. And they're just deploying it against the wrong target in your case. All right, for Christ says, it seems to be older woman telling them this advice too. Absolutely, sterile women are the ones who are carrying this. Very rare that you'll hear a 16-year-old, 18-year-old, like young creator go tell other women, don't get engaged in the game. And she says, not at all what I said. I actually spent most of the time not dating because men told me I wasn't capable of a relationship. I got into a couple of relationships because of ultimatums, but considered them temporary and not serious. Then once I did start dating, I was overly trusting, and like I said, I expected men to be good people. A mistake given that many, if not most, are not and will lie and string women along for fundamentally non-consensual sex. Well, I challenge that this is not what she said. In fact, she ended up recognizing that that's what she said, and that's what she did in at least one occasion. So at least one occasion, she listened to another woman saying, "Don't get with this guy, he's bad." Well, there you go. You get what you fucking deserve. And it's almost clownish, her account. She was responding to my tweets and saying, "I froze my egg. I did everything right." "I froze my eggs. Absolutely not. I will not have a child without a father." So I was telling her, just get pregnant. When you're 39, it's not time to think, "Oh, I'm going to find the perfect relationship." At 39, you have 1 year left. At 39, you have 1 year left. And even if you were to be successful at insemination in that year, you have chances of Down syndrome. So it's like you have 1 year left. You played the game wrong. Okay. But you haven't lost fully yet. Insemination, Jessica Pinn. And you know, I'm not saying insemination like your baby is not going to have a father. Try an insemination with a guy who wants to be a father. But here's the thing. I know who you are, Jessica Pinn. Because when Grok told me there's 14 women who are single on Twitter, I watched your account. And you know what I decided? I decided, "Jeff, you will not inseminate this woman. You will not approach this woman. You will not get into her DM. You will not send them a hi." That's how bad your situation is. That even I, well, I've stood for absolute universal insemination. I violated one of my most fundamental principles, that all uteruses should be inseminated at all times. When I saw the Jessica Pinn account on X 1 month ago, I said, too many red flags. Because here's the problem. You say your child will end without a father. But that's your fault. That's who you are. You will be unbearable to the father of your child. You will run away with your child. You will make all of these stories about abuse, which we constantly see. Your whole X account is complaining about you got genitally mutilated by a bad doctor or something. And then you reproach all these things to men that you haven't even accepted in your life. So you spend your whole days already complaining about abuse. And I know what will happen to the child, to any father that shows up for inseminating you. You will fuck them up and you will make their life unbearable and you will run away then with the children. And you will try to destroy their reputation. I've seen it again and again. At this point, I just need the picture at this point. Narcissist, histrionic personality. That's what we have here. And that's why she spends her days complaining about men. And I mean, it's almost comedic. You wonder whether she's a product of a parody or something. Because I tell her to get inseminated. She says, "Absolutely not. I will not have a child without a father. If attractive women with 140 IQs who want to reproduce, don't reproduce. That's a failure of society. I can only do so much. I froze my eggs. I date as much as I can. At some point, it's not on me, and I don't owe the world more effort, suffering, and sacrifice. My last boyfriend refused to even give me closure or explain what went wrong." So what's wrong with you, Jessica Pinn, is you are a broken mind, a broken individual who has been set in her ways so much that she cannot bond with any human being ever again. Because you are broken from paranoia, histrionic personality, and narcissism. You see yourself at the center of the world. All of these phrases, they all frame you. First, 140 IQ. Fuck off. Okay, fuck off. Your 140 IQ? Here's what's going to happen if you're 140 IQ. Here's what's going to happen, Jessica. You're going to go and read the letter to AI on the Goldbeck conjecture that I wrote. You're going to explain to me each of these terms. You will characterize the modulus difference between the K-sums of the gamma 6 and gamma 7 terms. If you can't do this, you're not even 120 IQ. Okay? Characterize the modulus relationship between the gamma 6 and gamma 7 terms from the Papa JF Goldbeck conjecture paper straight on the Bitcoin blockchain. Of course, she's not 140 IQ. I can only do so much. So this whole thing, like, you have given the world a woman of quality. It is so much already. How can people want more? The problem is, you didn't even need to be of that quality. First, I doubt that you are of quality. I believe that if you've had these repeated failures at even attracting men into a serious long-term relationship, I think you have problems in the kind of men you select first, and then you have problems in how you treat them. You know that feeling I get when I browse through your Twitter account? Men are probably getting this pretty quick in a relationship with you. It's like, holy shit, she is absolutely fucking broken inside. And then I froze my egg. That is not what you had to do. That is, it's like good luck with the eggs, but 4 out of 8 probably already are dead. Then maybe out of the 3 you're going to get, maybe some will work. Not going to be a perfect baby. Maybe there's going to be issues with the pregnancy. Maybe. But that's not what you had to do. What you had to do is meet the market when you had value. This is the challenge. This is the game of life for a woman. Meet the market when you have value. And by the way, this is the same thing I have to do. I have to meet the market when I have value. And I met it. I met it with straight insemination. So that is what everyone has to do. That is the reality of life. That is what you do on the employment market. That is what you do as a man on the dating market. And that is what you do as a woman. What you seem to have misunderstood is just how quick your value would go down. Thinking about having a child with a father at 39? No, at this point, it's an emergency insemination that you need. It's an absolute emergency insemination. And by the way, I am a good father already to already existing children. I am available for insemination. My sperm has been publicly offered. So this girl could immediately trigger an application form for my sperm program, which includes fatherhood services. But she's not going to get this, and I don't have neither interest nor hope that she would, because I see the amount of problem that comes with a girl like this. That's even worse than many of my exes. That is like level 9 out of 10 broken. I date as much as I can. I don't owe the world more effort, suffering, and sacrifice. No, see, that's where the misunderstanding comes. She thinks that by being a good female, and she perceives herself as a good female. See, I'm beautiful. I'm desirable. First, you're not that beautiful. And second, the red flags are kind of messing up your image. But she thinks she's giving to the world. No, I'm not asking you to give to the world by getting inseminated. I'm telling you, do it for yourself. Save yourself. It's not for the world. forget about services to the world. You're worth nothing to the world, just like I am worth nothing to the world. We're all part of the same compost pile. We're the all dancing, all singing crap of the world. No one is worth anything to society. This world is just hurling around the sun on a big ball. There's no sense to it. And there's nothing that you give that's important to society. The world, you could disappear tomorrow. Any of you, me, anyone on earth could disappear tomorrow. It would be just a couple of tears in a few of your loved ones. That's it. You're worth absolutely zero. But that's why you have to care for your own insemination. That's why you have to make sure that your life is not in vain. And you do so by getting inseminated now, Jessica. Find a man of your taste, consent to him, and have sex. Reproductive sex. Candace Owens has received a cease and desist letter from TPUSA to stop her speculation over Charlie Kirk's death. The letter states that Candace violated the non-disparagement clause of her NDA with the organization by spreading unfounded rumors about the organization's involvement in Charlie Kirk's death. You know, that's a contractual approach because in America, it's very hard to get a defamation case going. But what these corporations are sometimes successful at doing is say that, oh, well, by contract, she was committed by contract not to destroy our reputation. Maybe they're going to get a lawsuit going on this. It could be. It could be a couple of millions of dollars that they can, or at least they're going to maybe intimidate Candace into going slower or going less rough on her pursuit. Breaking, Caroline Ellison is looking for a new boyfriend after getting released from federal prison. Is that AI or is that real? I don't even know what's real anymore. Because I remember this girl had some pictures where, because they had a sex harem that was linked to FTX. But I don't know if that particular picture is a real one. We don't know what's real anymore with AI. Bug Monkey says, how to raise daughters so they don't end up being crazy? I would say there's not much that you have to do, but perhaps avoid certain practices. You don't want to elevate your daughters and create a sense of entitlement to the whole world. Actually, I believe that the human genes, both male and female, are designed to live in some degree of just basic, standard poverty level or just above. I believe that's the comfortable spot for human genes. So don't offer too much luxury. Don't offer luxuries beyond the necessary stuff for a basic life. And keep their life grounded to the basics. That is my approach. That means a lot of things, but basically, I've seen parents giving a whole new car to their daughter. Never do that. Never do that. I've seen parents pay for university education for their daughter. Never do that. You are not fit to choose this. Create situations where people are at the bottom of a basic life and they want to elevate themselves. They want to pursue a husband. They want to pursue whatever occupation they find will serve their life. But let people decide this. The problem is we frame such a cone of sets of consequences from really earlier than teenage years up to young adulthood. And as Nick Fuentes was describing, we're basically trapping women into a corporate funnel. You know, if women were just let to go out there and spend between 16-year-old and 20 years old not pursuing university, not pursuing jobs, what do you think they would do? They would get fucked by men and they would reproduce. I mean, it's as easy as this. It's like when you lay out in front of a young girl, well, here, you can be an astronaut or a doctor or a lawyer. You're trapping them into that funnel. Really, the fact that the choice is there in a way is a problem. And so what I say is let nature go. They have all of the hormones. They have all of the intelligence to protect themselves. You know, it's like you don't need to supervise a young adult woman getting into adult life. I mean, supervise to an extent where you can bring guidance, sure, where you can bring safety and security in the process. But if people were just let to be young adults without a scheduled anti-natalism program, just pounding them from above, society would be fixed. We'd get pregnant females at 20 years old and nature would go on. But no, we can't have this. We can't have this. And Grok has been, XAI has been extremely more censoring of anti-APAC, anti-Zionist viewpoints. APAC Tracker was reporting 40 to 65% reduced visibility for anti-Zionist content. I think that the age of Elon-generated internet liberty is coming to an end. I think Elon will be squeezing in to centrify the Republican Party. And I believe that it will be more and more hostile. What you're going to see throughout the year as we get closer to the election, where he's going to get more and more hostile at the idea of extremists, we have to exclude these people from the party. And this has been going on for decades. I mean, it's a multi-generational debate. Because the Republican Party always dreams of having these leftist voters attracted to the Republican Party. But it never really works. And so it's like, why would you fight your own side? Prime Minister Carney says, Canada doesn't live because of the United States. Canada thrives because we are Canadian. There's been big talk. Big talk around Greenland, Canada. I've had these tough military guys on Twitter telling me, Jeff, you're Canadian. We're going to take your country. And it's like, where are these memes coming from? Is this some kind of psyop? America is not going to take Canada. It's not even going to take Greenland. We've seen recently, you know, Trump was yapping, we just need Greenland. And eventually it just boiled down to he's going to have a couple of bases in Greenland. It's like he's been given some enclave by Greenland. Okay, you can build military bases here. So it's all the negotiation style of Trump that is misleading his own base. And, you know, 2 weeks ago I had people telling me they were about to invade Canada. Trump was about to invade Canada. JF, you're gonna get shot. We're gonna imprison you and deport you just like the others. And this is not happening. It's all Trump bullshit just spilling into fantasies and misinterpretation. Beet Soup says, I campaigned in prose, so I'm going to govern in econometrics. Okay, that's a cute quote. Not sure what it means, but sounds very smart. Sounds very smart, Beet Soup. John Drake says, what nonsense. 75% of business or so is done with the U.S. Clone X Radio says, North American Union is an OJ conspiracy theory, and it is still coming. Well, on that, you know, I was talking about this interacting with people on Twitter today about this. People were telling me, you know, Jeff, the Canadians, why are they so cocked? And I do have a theory of why Canadians are so cocked. It's because they were genetically selected for obedience. Because a lot of the foundational genetic stock of Canada is people who were more loyalists to the crown of England. And they were such that they didn't want to be part of the American experiment. And I've been talking about this derisively historically. But I think I've grown to like the idea of Canada. And in fact, even if I'm for the separation of Alberta, I think I wouldn't want Alberta to become a US state. I think I would want to have there to have free trade. But I think I would see Alberta, I would like Alberta to become something like Switzerland of North America. And so for the people who are tying the idea of Alberta independence to joining the US, I would say, first, the numbers are saying that there's about 15% more Albertans that want separation of Alberta from Canada, but they don't want to join the US. And I think that's how it would veer democratically, unless there's pressure or unless there's some negotiation with Trump and Trump says, I'm going to give you all some money, something like this. But generally, basically, I believe that Alberta, if it separates, is unlikely to then immediately join the US. And I believe that would be good. It would be kind of a center of liberty, landlocked, a little bit like Switzerland in the sense of being kind of this space that has protected a form of sovereignty for itself against all of the forces surrounding it, French, Italy, etc. So I've come, though, to accept that the Canadians, being overly attached to their crown, they may have made accidentally the right decision. Because when I look at the demographics of the US, I predict that the US is too close to the equator to survive with a white population on the scale of 1,000 years. I believe there will be outpopulation of whites in the US. Of course, within a few decades already, they will lose majority. But long term, I think they will lose all of it. And in a way, our running toward the north has been a very clever thing. Just compare, for example, French people. The French people of North America, they didn't survive in Louisiana. They didn't survive. They were outflooded and outcompeted. And I think the same could happen with white people of Alberta if we were a U.S. state. Because once you are part of the U.S., your demographic fate is bound to be exactly that of the U.S. Except perhaps Alaska, because then there's kind of a barrier to get into Alaska. But generally, if your country goes to shit demographically, they can all move to your province. They can all move to your state if they want to. So for that reason, I believe that Alberta independence is better without U.S. membership. IS Crane Genius says, should we build a city in northern Alberta? Absolutely. I believe in colonizing northern Alberta. That's what I'm doing. I'm living in northern Alberta, and I may even move more north at some point. But yeah, absolutely. I love colonizing. I love being a pioneer where there's not many human beings, but where, I mean, we live an isolated, beautiful lifestyle here. I'm not worried about criminality. I'm not worried about anything, really. I could leave something of value just in my car, on my land. I know it's not going to get stolen. I know my lawnmower is not going to get stolen. I don't have to even lock it in. Whereas when you get into the more populated area, then these things become problems. Burger Fan says, cold is a huge advantage, but Canada gives foreigners a deal they can't refuse. Well, exactly. So let's use cold to our advantage. I mean, you can live a absolutely comfortable life in an extremely cold environment. These days, right now at my home, it's very cold. I'm heating, of course, but even the heating, when you see the furnace shuts off, it takes only a few minutes and you can feel the snap of the cold coming back into the home. So it's very pleasant, actually, because that's just normal. That's what we can endure as white people. That's just part of our genetic history as Europeans. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, are you willing to fight America for Canada, though? Well, maybe not for Canada, but perhaps for Alberta. I mean, fight America. I mean, in a way, it's very hard. It's very hard because if there was truly like a $1 trillion war, I think that America absolutely wants to win. I think they could, of course. No question that the U.S. has military superiority. But, you know, that doesn't mean that they have immediate incentive to invade. And the science of liberty is very often the science of knowing how to be left alone.